the Depression, the Dust Bowl days in the 30s, are there any recollection? I know you were very young, if stories were told to you.
Well, I was born in 36, so I didn't really hear of any of those stories. You know, the first thing I remember about things going on was the war, World War II.
Yeah.
You know, listening to the reports on the radio and actually going to movies where they had the, you know, the newsreels that showed different aspects of the war.
There was a theater in Antlers?
We had two theaters, and later on we had a drive-in. And I think I saw every movie that was shown there while I was growing up.
Any one movie that stood out, you remember?
I remember Gone with the Wind. I wanted to go see Outlaw, but my folks wouldn't let me go. Said I was too young to see that. But I liked the westerns, you know, High Noon.
So then you go into school, grade school then in Antlers?
Yes.
Move on to junior high and then to high school?
Yes.
Right. And that would be Antlers High School, I guess it would be. When did you graduate from there?
1954.
Did school come easy for you?
Yeah, it did. I studied in school. Studied a little bit probably after school, but not very much. But most things came pretty easy. Math was pretty easy. The things that I ended up needing to do in college, I got in high school. Didn't get any of the advanced courses that you can do now, but it was just math, science classes, English. The only foreign language they taught was, it was Latin. So I had 2 years of Latin. And it actually helped a little bit, particularly when I got to college.
Any activities in high school you might have participated in?
Well, I played basketball a little bit, played football. I was in the band. That was pretty much it.
We know what you went on to, but in high school, was there a dream formulating that I want to do this, even before you got out of high school?
The answer is yes and no. When I was growing up, my granddad was a preacher. His granddad before was a missionary and a preacher. And he came to Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears with the Choctaws in 1836. So I'm the next guy up. And I was aware of that. And I was a little bit conflicted about whether I wanted to be a preacher or not. In fact, I was kind of sure maybe I didn't. I finally had a talk with the Lord, and I asked him to give me some kind of sign to tell me whether I should or shouldn't be a preacher. And he didn't give me anything, a sign, which told me that he had something else in mind for me. It was like a stone being lifted off my shoulders at that time. So that took being the preacher away. I had been working at the grocery store for quite a while, and I didn't think that's what I wanted to do. Instead of going with my friends to California to pick cherries in my junior year, my folks wouldn't let me go, so they told me I could go down and visit my uncle in Falfurrias, Texas. He was a chemist with a mobile oil company in a gas plant they had down there. So I went down there for 2 weeks and visited with him. And I go to work with him, and he started telling me about what these petroleum engineers were doing. I kind of liked that, and I just thought that's what I wanted to do. So when I came back, I knew that's what I was going to do. I knew that OU had one of the best petroleum engineering schools, so that's that became my focus. So
that was in your junior year?
I was in my junior year when I, end of my junior year when I went down
okay.
there. So when I came back, I entered my senior year.
Mm-hmm. You said your great-grandfather came on the Trail of Tears. Was he Native American of any sort?
No. His folks came from England in 1642. That's when they came to America.
So your great-grandfather, as a minister, came along?
He studied and became a preacher, and he came to Goshen, Mississippi, and he wanted to be a missionary, and he met his wife there, and they got married, and she was a missionary as well. So they came on the Trail of Tears with the Choctaws in 1834.
Mm-hmm.
And they came into southeast Oklahoma between Hugo and Durant, and they started schools and churches for the Indians and the early settlers there.
When you told the family you didn't want to be a minister, was that a shock? Was it pushback, or did they argue with you? Or?
No, they didn't. My grandfather never really pushed me in that direction. We did talk about it, but he knew that I had to be fully committed to be in that profession.
At this point, then, is anybody standing out as a great mentor to you or helping?
Well, I think my whole family. It wasn't just my grandfather Hodgkin. It was my father's side as well. They were, and my aunts and uncles and all that. We were a very close family, and it was a great family to grow up in. And they, you know, they taught me what I needed to know. So that's part of the mentoring process. And my grandfather was a big influence on me as well.
Sometimes when we're living in a situation like that, we don't realize how good it is until we move on and look back.
Right.
And I know you have done that, how fortunate you were. You realize it later on.
You know, when you're growing up in it, you don't really think about it. There were a few differences in, I guess, standard of living, but we didn't really, growing up, pay any attention to that as kids. I mean, we had friends, and they were just friends, no matter whether they were well off or not well off.
Okay, so you graduate from Antlers High School in 1954, and then you go to OU and petroleum engineering. And when you hit the campus, you knew what you wanted to do. And you were fortunate, because a lot of college students don't know.
That's right.
Have to grapple with that. So what was the first experience? How did that all feel to you when you came to OU?
Well, OU was a big school, and Antlers was a small school. So there was some adjustments just trying to fit in and learning how to study with everything that was going on there. And the first semester, I did really well. The second semester, I didn't do too well because one of my close friends from Antlers who joined the Navy, after he got out of boot camp, they sent him to Norman, Oklahoma, to Naval Base in Norman. Where I was staying was right next to the Naval Base, so he thought I should go with him to Oklahoma City when he got off work to have some beer.
Yep.
I did that a little bit, and it affected my grade. So fortunately, he got transferred, and I got back into the scheme of studying and doing what I needed to do.
Were your parents overlooking your shoulder at your grades and telling you what's going on here?
Not overbearingly. You know, they wanted to know what I was doing and how I was doing. And, you know, I was forthright with them. They just told me I needed to kind of bear down and do better. If you get out of sync in how you have to take classes in engineering, it can cause you to have to stay an extra semester. I mean, you have to take one right after the other. And if you don't take one at the right time, then you have to take it the next semester. So that, and I ended up being there more than 4 years. So, and it was probably the fourth year that Peggy and I got married. She lived with me there on campus until I graduated.
The work at OU came, I don't know if I should have used the word easy. You liked math coming into it, so how did you
work at OU was extremely hard. Engineering is a tough course. They have all these hard courses that you have to take, like physics, strength of material, chemistry courses, and all that. That, you know, if you're going to go out and work in the oil field, you just don't necessarily use those kind of things you learn, but they're extremely hard. They were difficult. The petroleum engineering courses were really fun. I enjoyed that. I did well in those. I made good grades when I started doing the petroleum engineering stuff. The others, you know, made maybe B's and C's. But I wasn't a scholar.
If you weren't a scholar, you were awfully close to it, probably.
I would say I was probably an average student.
Yeah.